In Genesis chapter 22, in verses 15 and following, the Lord renews his promises to his friend Abraham. In Genesis 22, in verse 15, we read, "And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.'" Well, those thrilling promises that God made to his friend, to his man, Abraham, that he had called out of a life of idolatry. He and his fathers, the book of Acts tells us, the book of Joshua tells us, worshiped idols. And the Lord appeared, the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus came before he took on human flesh. He appeared to Abraham when he was living in Mesopotamia, and he called him to follow him. And Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham was given grace by Almighty God to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read over in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, that indeed Abraham saw Jesus, saw his day, and he rejoiced and was glad. That was the content of Abraham's faith. We see in Galatians 3, quoting from this very text here in Genesis 22, in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And Galatians 3 tells us that God came and preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, seeing that he would justify the Gentiles by faith. He preached this gospel to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." It is the offspring of Abraham, that particular offspring in the fullness of time, who came forth, God taking on human flesh in the virgin's womb, our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we've looked at that promise here in Genesis 22, and we've also considered this matter of God telling Abraham that he would multiply his children as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. That's a bunch of youngins that God Almighty has promised to give to Abraham. And we read in Romans chapter 4 that those who have faith in Jesus Christ, we are children of Abraham, whether we're a Jew or a Gentile. And that's how God is fulfilling this promise. There is a multitude, as the book of Revelation refers to it, that no man can number. That's how many children God is giving in fulfillment of this promise to Abraham by drawing men and women and boys and girls to repent of their sins and believe in Jesus. Well, another aspect of these promises that God gave to Abraham that we have begun to look at now is, "And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies." Here we see that the enemies of God, the enemies of God's people, cannot withstand the power of Almighty God. That God's enemies are going to be conquered. The enemies of God's people are not going to be able to win in eternity or in history ultimately. Now, today we want to go over again to the New Testament, and we want to look at a very important passage of Scripture that talks about gates. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus was talking to his disciples, and we'll begin reading in verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And so Jesus asked his disciples a question. Who do the people, who do men and women, boys and girls, who do people think, who do they say the Son of Man is? Now, this term, the Son of Man, is taken from Daniel chapter 7 in the Old Testament, and it was the title that Jesus used more in the Gospels, referring to himself, than any other a title in the Old Testament. And so he's referring to himself, and he says, "Who do people say that Jesus of Nazareth is, the Son of Man is?" And so they answered, verse 14, here's what people think. And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And so the answer to that question was, there was just all kinds of opinions and speculation about who Jesus of Nazareth is. When Jesus walked on this earth at this point, there were people just all over the spectrum. But the thing that is striking is all of these people were mighty men of God. And so Jesus then turns and says to his disciples in verse 15, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And friends, that really is the crucial question for me and for you today. Who do I say that Jesus is? Because the answer to that question, what you believe, what I believe, is going to determine whether we spend eternity in heaven or we spend eternity in the horrors of hell. Who is Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is? Well, Simon Peter steps forward and he answers. Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that is what it means to be a Christian, that we confess who Jesus is from the heart. As Romans 10 verses 9 and 10 says, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so here we have Simon Peter confessing, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17, what does Jesus say about that confession? Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." He said, "Simon, you have been blessed. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And so if you love Jesus today, if you are one who is confessing Jesus is Lord, if you're confessing like Thomas did there in John chapter 20, "My Lord and my God." Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my God. You died on the cross for me, and you've been raised from the dead as the living Savior, and I'm trusting in you, and I confess you with my mouth, and I believe in you from the heart. Then Jesus says, we are blessed, we are saved, we belong to the living God. Well, he goes on in verse 18. He says, "And I tell you, you are Peter." Peter, the Greek form of this, has to do with you're a rock, Peter. Now, a lot of people get confused and they think that it was the man Peter that Jesus was saying he was going to build his church on. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, it wasn't the man Peter, but it is what Peter had just confessed. It was that apostolic truth that had just come forth from Peter's mouth. Now, we know it wasn't the man Peter, because down in verse 21, now that's verse 18, down in verse 21 we read, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.'" And so the Lord has recorded this for us to show very clearly that it's not the man, Peter. It's not God saying, "Now, Peter, everything he says, everything he does, that's what I'm going to build my church on." The Roman Catholic Church, sadly, believes this notion that it was the man Peter and that they have built this fanciful, unbiblical view that somehow Peter was singled out from all of the other apostles. Well, that's not what Scripture teaches. And here we see it was that apostolic confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is what Jesus builds his church on. Jesus says, "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Jesus is building his church. And what does he build his church on? It is on the foundation of the prophets and apostles. It is the Word of God. It is the apostolic gospel that is recorded for us in Holy Scripture. The prophets of the Old Testament pointed forward to the coming of Jesus, and the apostles then were used of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of the living God to flesh out the rest of the message of Holy Scripture, explaining who Jesus is in living, vivid color. All the rest of the New Testament was written either the Holy Spirit giving it directly through apostles or under the direction of apostles. And so that's what Jesus builds his church on. But notice what he promises. He promises something about these gates. And here we have a reference now. God promised Abraham, "Your descendants will possess the gates of their enemies." Now, what's that talking about? It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ furthering his gospel and turning the hearts of men and women and boys and girls from being enemies of God to being those who embrace the Lord Jesus and love him and follow him and seek to love the people around us in the name of Jesus. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so here's the picture of the fortresses of hell. And they have these gates, these big defensive doors to keep people from coming in and capturing their city. And it's the gates of hell. And Jesus, by the power of his Holy Spirit, is swinging the battering ram of his gospel, and the gates of hell aren't strong enough to prevail. They're not going to win. Praise God. And so may the Lord stir us up to love Jesus and to be spreading his gospel. Amen.